Betsy's Sunday School Bible Classics. Today's story is Moses and the Midianites, Numbers 31. God told Moses to attack the Midianites.
Those people have been worshiping someone else. Attack them!
So Moses' army, who were God-fearing men and good soldiers, killed all the men and then burned all the cities. But they didn't kill the women or children. This made Moses very mad.
You idiots! What is wrong with you?
So he ordered them to kill all the boy children and all the women who weren't virgins.
Mommy!
Sorry, lady. God's orders.
What God?
The God of Moses, of course. There is no other God.
He also told them that they could keep the virgins for themselves.
Buck up, men. You can have the virgin girls.
The end.
How do we know which ones are virgins?
Homo sapiens, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Nickel, please.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from the Victory Variety Hour burlesque show at Skinny's in North Hollywood. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com. If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Heather, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might just use your statements in the live broadcast, so join Heather there now. And please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and write a review. Help us get up in the top 10.
Pretty please.
We only have a couple of rules.
Rule number one, as I said to Emery when I met him at Burning Man, you can plug anything you want as long as you slip it in slow and easy when I'm not looking.
Rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you Bible-thumping homophobe. In the studio today, we have Roger Nygaard, Stevie Ray Fromstein, and Betsy Salkind. You know these folks from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, everyone.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have this group. We actually had a show booked where we were going to have another guest, and at the last minute, he had to cancel, which we always understand.
Act of God.
This pays nothing. And Stevie jumped in. Betsy and I have been talking for months about getting you on the show.
Yep.
And we opened with one of your video / audio pieces, which is awesome. You can find those on YouTube. What should they search for, Betsy?
They're called Betsy's Sunday School Bible Classics.
Right.
But you can just put in Betsy Salkind and Bible, and you'll probably get them.
Right.
There are five of them, and they are adapted from a written picture book, actually, two of which have been published, two of the eight stories.
Right.
And the whole eight are coming out hopefully by Christmas, in an iBook version.
Cool. Cool, cool. Well, check it out. Absolutely wonderful. And can I play those on the show from time to time?
Yeah. That's the shortest one. They're as long as, you know, some of them are fairly epic.
Your understanding of the Bible is epic, in my opinion, as well. It's absolutely awesome, the way you completely dismantle and you don't change the stories. You don't change anything in them in terms of the content. It's really wonderful.
No, I sort of found all the stuff that was taken out when they teach these stories to kids. And so I put back all the rape and murder and genocide.
I love it.
And then I illustrated
it. You resex it up.
Yeah, I illustrate it, and then I give voice to the women, the children, and the animals.
Right.
So the stories themselves are the real stories, but then my commentary is in the illustrations.
I think we heard friend of the show Rick Overton.
Rick plays God in a few of them, and Noah.
Rick plays God no matter where he is.
Exactly.
He's phenomenal.
He's the best God
ever.
Yeah,
he did a bunch of voices.
Yeah, he's one. Wonderful.
Are those stories in every Bible, or are they missing from a lot
they're
of the Bibles?
They're all from the Old Testament. And I picked the Old Testament because it's the basis of all three of the big religions. And, really it was just, they always horrified me. And I thought, if we're going to act like the Bible is some kind of moral code to live by, let's be honest about what's in there.
Wasn't that the Bible, the Old Testament, has been completely replaced by the New Testament?
It
or that's their argument, right?
It hasn't been completely replaced, though, because there's still all the fire and brimstone, and it's still based on this patriarchal, father's in charge.
Well, the New Testament actually says, Jesus in the New Testament says, assuming he was even a person, actually says, I'm not here to change the laws.
Right.
Right? And so you're right.
The New Testament doesn't replace it.
It's an addition to it.
It's an addition.
That's the argument that they give religious people when you argue with them or debate with them about stuff that's in the Old Testament. They say, well, the New Testament came, and so because people weren't ready for this stuff, now they're ready for the New Testament. And so then I usually say, well, then you should be a Mormon, right? Because that came. The Book of Mormon has now replaced the New Testament.
Exactly.
Or how do you know which new version is the right new version?
And they're worshiping the wrong God.
Yeah, I always say, you know, but isn't the God of the New Testament the same God as the Old Testament?
Yeah, it's Jesus' father. He's still the same.
And so he said things in the new, in the old book.
He mellowed.
He's saying things in the new book. And
no, God is unchanging. I don't know why I did that.
The God of the Old Testament is like an arch conservative, whereas Jesus was more of a liberal.
Right.
It's like sort of Ronald Reagan and his son.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of relationship.
He's a rebel.
Ronald Reagan Jr.
And if Jesus came back, they'd fag bash him to death.
Yeah, he would not. Because it's interesting because the
right. Are you saying Jesus butt fucked?
Well, he did hang out with 12 guys and wear a dress.
Bingo!
And which there was one that was the most favorite of all the disciples, right? The
most
favorite. I forget which one. It wasn't Judas, but someone who's always got his arm around him, you know, and they're always hanging out together.
And he did encourage them to leave their wives and children.
Right. It was Paul the power bottom.
I'm looking up Jesus' favorite disciple.
Let's check that out. I'd like to be able to know that next time it comes up.
I think it was Rudolph, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Roger, you made a movie.
John.
The Nature of Existence.
Absolutely amazing.
Glad you liked it.
Really, really liked it. First of all, I'm an editor. And I loved the editing.
It was a lot of footage. I interviewed 170 people over 4 years all over the world from all belief systems, from atheists to the devoutly religious and everyone in between, pizza chefs and waitresses, Mormons, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jainists, Sikhs, Confucianists, Taoists.
In a partridge, in
blah,
a
blah, blah. They're all there. And I asked them all, why do we exist? Yeah. And collected all their answers and put them together side by side, and hence the editing comes in so people can see in juxtaposition what makes sense or what's completely ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, all of the believers are ardently arguing these completely absurd points. It's really, really amazing to see, and I love that you throw in just this. You got in a cab, and you started interviewing a guy driving the fucking cab, some Muslim guy, I think.
It doesn't. But we've all had that experience, right? Where the cab driver is some kind of philosopher.
Yeah,
and they've got it. You know,
well, in their country, they were.
Well, they are true sages. I mean,
I asked that guy, were we created or did we evolve? And he goes, it all goes back to Adam and Noah getting together, and that's why we're here.
Wow.
Amazing.
I didn't know two men could have a baby.
Yeah, I don't think he thought it through all that clearly.
No. He definitely drove better than he philosophized. There's no question about that.
After watching the Republican debates, I no longer believe in evolution.
They convinced you.
Yeah, they did.
Really?
Solid
argument.
They're
not participating.
It's de-evolution, actually, that's accounted for as well.
I've heard
that's
that.
The retarded gene, though.
Yeah, I've heard the argument, the de-evolution argument, and there are people who actually hold it literally. Like, they believe it's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, in brief, right, the theory is that stupid people multiply faster than smart people.
Right.
And so there are more of them.
Isn't there a movie?
Idiocracy.
Right.
Yes.
And there's a band,
Great
Devo.
Movie. Devo.
Based on de-evolution.
Right. Yeah, it's
I did not
interesting
know
idea.
That.
I, of course, applying evolution is not what we're talking about. We're talking about social change. And it shouldn't be the word evolution doesn't apply to it.
Right. Evolution takes place over millions of years, right? And that's why people have a hard time grasping it. And sometimes they'll just, must have been God. I can't think about a million years.
Right.
So it can't be possible if I can't imagine it.
I think it's faster than that, though, because I was born with only two wisdom teeth.
You're evolving before our eyes.
Although I don't see how we can do without any wisdom.
What do you mean? What do you mean you were born with two? We all have four, right?
No.
We all have two?
No. Most people have four.
Okay.
And I was born with only two. And since most people seem to have them all removed, it seems like we're evolving toward not having any.
Yeah. Oh, there's a new movement to not take them out unless they're actually causing a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just a way of making money if you're
my
a dentist.
My two were causing a problem because there were no bottoms to match them. So they were just chewing gum.
Oh, wow. You were knocking into everything with them.
Yeah.
That's not good.
You're living proof.
Mine are sideways growing toward my teeth. Stevie Ray Fromstein.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out where to come in on this teeth discussion.
I loved your comedy when I was a young comic. You were just iconic. We all loved your work.
Oh, thanks.
Are you still doing stand-up?
I am, actually. I got back into stand-up a few years ago. I mostly open for Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
So where he goes.
I saw you on a radio show online with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, he doesn't drive.
No, he does not.
How
drive.
In the fuck are you a comic
if
and not
you're
driving?
A friend of Norm's, it's good to have a driver's license.
Right.
One thing you should know about Steve.
That's almost a qualification for. That's almost the only thing you need to be a friend of Norm's.
Right, right.
To
right.
drive him around. What you should know about Steve is he does an amazing set all about religion. He can do. How many minutes can you do now just on religion?
Half hour, 40 minutes.
And it's brilliant material, and that's why I put him in my film, The Nature of Existence, because right. he was. You know, his material was so appropriate for the topic.
I only found one clip of Stevie Ray online.
But he'll be in heaven, you know, as a savior. And he'd really be in heaven because there's no Jews there.
I love the reaction. They're
multi-layered.
This is what I've been saying. I was so criticized.
Such a great piece.
That's a tricky joke because I think a lot of the people really laugh loudly. Don't like Jews.
Right, right.
You know, it's that's not the intent of my joke. And part of the bigness of that laugh, I think, comes from people going, yeah, there are no Jews in heaven.
Well, there's also a wave going on throughout that joke where they're like, oh, my God, what are we doing here? Yeah.
He was doing what God planned for him, right?
But he was a big atheist, they all claim, which, of course, he wasn't.
I interviewed Jews. You know, when I was in Israel, one of my most pressing questions was to ask a rabbi, okay, you know, how do you continue to be a believer when God took 6 million of your chosen people away? And before you, they were taken away. They were brutalized, murdered, experimented upon.
Right.
How do you work that into your religion?
Yeah.
Right? And there's only a couple of possibilities, right? Either that God wanted it to happen, or God doesn't care, or there is no God, right? So which of those three are you going to go with? And so the rabbi's answer was, in short, that everything happens because God wants it to happen. Therefore, he wanted the Holocaust to happen. So
God's
he was
bastard.
Sending.
He is a fucktard. I do not like this man.
I know.
He was sending a message to the Jews that they were not being orthodox enough.
Oh,
so
right?
They had to go back to basics.
Beer!
See, that's really my point, though. Like, people always say, oh, do you believe in God or not? And to me, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it. I think we get trapped in this, in arguing whether it exists or not, when I think the bigger question is, Let's say he does exist. Then if you believe in it, you should definitely not be worshiping that guy.
If God exists,
because what a jerk!
He shouldn't be worshipped. He should be.
We should all
be
rise up against
hated.
Him. We should do everything we can to find out where he is, and we should destroy that.
He
son
should
of a bitch.
Be, denounced at every opportunity because he's really
would
an
you guys
aggressive, horrible sociopath.
Elect this guy for president?
Well, we wouldn't, but I think the Tea Party might.
Yes,
well. Right.
That's not us.
But he sent his son to die for our sins. I mean, what greater symbol of love for humanity
is there than
to murder your fucking kid?
Right.
Who's also
jag off?
He's also you. He's your son, and he's you at the same time. Don't forget.
Right, right.
It's not a sacrifice if you kill someone else. It's only a sacrifice if you kill yourself.
No one's been able to explain to me yet.
I've never thought of that. That's good.
So God is a martyr.
No one, maybe you can. No one's been able to explain to me yet why sending someone to be tortured to death saves other people.
Yeah, there's no mathematics that makes any sense.
Anyone?
It's a complete disconnect of any kind of morality, reality, or...
And yet you're so trained to just think and accept that thing.
Well, it allowed Mel Gibson to make torture porn and call it religious.
But then, you know, to really think about a man up on a cross being hung up, you know what I mean? And then to cry joy for that, you know, because
people are messed up.
I agree with Betsy, though, that we get distracted with, is this true or not?
Yeah.
When really, we don't have to ask ourselves if it's true, just what is the message of the story?
Right, exactly.
What's the moral message of the story of Jesus dying for our sins?
Yeah.
First of all, how can somebody else die for your sins? And also, how can you be, it's also got to do with the sins of the fathers.
Yeah.
He's dying for sins that we didn't even commit.
Right, that's the thing. Original sin is the most horrific idea there is. An infant comes out of a womb filled with sin that needs to be washed away by blood.
It takes a religious person to see a newborn baby and see a sinner.
Well, going back to children, you know, being in Sunday school and being the older kid in Sunday school, listening to the Sunday school teacher tell the story about your sin and the devil and how to go to you're going to go to hell. it was just horrific for me to watch the younger kids look kind of upset. And I actually said something about, you know, you're scaring the kids. You're scaring the
kids.
You
actually said something when you were teaching kind of, Sunday school?
No, I talked to the lady afterwards. I said, you know, when you talk about hell to these kids, I was watching What's a Face next to me, and she looked like she was about to cry. I just felt so bad for her. I wanted to put my arms around her. I mean, I wasn't much older, but I got it. You know what I mean?
Right.
At that point.
Right.
And eventually I ended up teaching that class, and I didn't talk about hell or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just followed whatever curriculum there was and made them color in the ridiculous cartoons, and
they did a little felt thing for
but
me.
See, they always leave stuff out when they teach the kids the story.
I love looking online, right, at the kids' Bible stories. I love looking in the store and reading the Bible stories. It's
like
just so cutesy.
Noah's Ark, they don't mention that. Once the boat lands, they have a big feast and a sacrifice, and this involves killing and eating one of every animal.
Right.
Well, if kids knew that, I don't think they'd think Noah's Ark was such a great story.
But you just accept it. You don't think
about
it.
One of the two, or I guess they had offspring on both.
No, actually, it wasn't two by two. It was two of the dirty animals and seven of each clean animal.
So if the dirty animals, if you ate one, how would you?
They ate quite a few of them en route.
That's how they survived.
How did the animals in the New World swim over to get on the ark so they wouldn't drown because of the flood?
Yeah, good, exactly.
Well, say that again?
There were no birds or fish.
How did the animals on the New World?
They had to swim across the ocean to avoid drowning in a flood.
You mean the animals that didn't exist at that time?
That didn't exist over in that part of the world. They only existed in South America or North America.
Yeah, they were the dinosaurs. That's what happened to the dinosaurs.
Well, the biggest question I have is
if they there were animals that could swim, so they didn't really have to worry about it.
I want to know how they kept the termites from eating the boat.
They only had two of them. They had two termites.
Only two?
One male, one female.
That's a big fucking boat.
And they gave them a little piece of wood. It was fine.
No, they kept all the animals, the males and females, apart.
It takes more than 150 days for two termites to eat an entire boat.
Yeah.
They had to call it some damage.
It was 150? How long was it, Betsy?
Where did all the poop go?
They had, that's
all in my story.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see that. They shoveled it off.
Well, some say that, and some say there was like one of the floors of the boat was just for shit.
So one group of people makes up one thing, and another group of people makes up another.
Yes, but they all have the same kind of screwed up parts, which is, you know, God basically getting angry at people and deciding to drown everyone. That's where the flood is. That's what that is. And then, you know, after it's all over, he sort of gives up on humanity. Ah, fuck it. You people weren't going to learn anyway. What's the point? And he promises never to kill everyone again.
Upon smelling the food.
Yes, upon smelling
the
these poor animals.
Yeah.
And, but he chooses the symbol of the rainbow to remind him not to kill everyone.
I see.
Which I think
is because that gay people are his homo sapiens.
But, what the hell?
I don't
Plus,
know.
What were the people doing to earn the death sentence? They weren't worshiping God.
Well, if
you ask, what was everybody doing?
He was extremely narcissistic. I mean, that's that over and over
again. What was the crime that they all
people,
committed?
They weren't paying him enough attention.
A lot of
or
times
they were
hear,
worshiping someone
well, they
else.
Were having sex and having a good time, like everything that we do.
But a lot of times it was that they were praying to someone else.
Joseph Swam says...
And Sodom and Gomorrah set him off pretty badly.
Now, Sodom and Gomorrah is amazing because he's going to destroy the town because the people are just so awful, but he decides Mr. Lot is the good man. And Mr. Lot offers his two virgin daughters to a crowd to gang rape them. And... That doesn't work out because the daughters are saved by an angel. But then after Mrs.
Well, thank God.
Mrs. Lot gets turned into salt, right?
Because
she looks.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't want any witnesses.
Stop jerking off in the corner.
Sorry.
But that's where the story ends as far as most people know.
Right.
She turns to salt, story's over. But what happens after that is Mr. Lot takes his two daughters to a cave in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And
gets
according
drunk.
To him, they get him drunk and use him to impregnate themselves because they want babies.
I thought you were going to say they go out to dinner and use the salt that she turned into to salt their
Why did
meal.
The salt make me come? That was weird.
I mean, basically, Lot is, he rapes his two daughters.
Rapes
and,
his two. But he,
and
she
creates babies,
Where do you atheists get your goddamn morals?
You guys can just go out and stand and do whatever you want.
That's one of my favorites. You were about to read something from the wall. Do you want to get to
that? Oh, yeah. Joseph Swam just said the telephone game gone wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on with religion.
You know, the morality question, they study that. I mean, social psychologists have an answer for you, that human beings, to them, they're born good. Because in order to exist in social groups, you have to understand the golden rule. You can even see monkeys and chimpanzees. They practice the golden rule, which is essentially just trading favors. You remember who owes you a favor. And so that's doing good for others, but it's basically self-centered, so we can all live together as a group.
I haven't railed on the golden rule for a while. But have you given much thought, Roger Nygaard, to how horrifically wrong the golden rule is?
You know, there's a silver rule. Do you know the difference? Confucius came up with a silver rule long before Jesus was around.
This is going to be interesting. I have a platinum rule I came up with, so I'm interested in hearing
this.
See
if you can top Confucius. His version was a negative version, which was, do not do to others what you would not want done to you.
Okay.
Which essentially means live and let live. You know, do unto others is kind of invasive. It's like, get in their face and do unto them. But how do you know what they want, right?
Well, I want to treat other people better than I treat myself.
Oh, that's sweet.
Self-abusing?
Nice thing. Yeah. What if you're self-loathing?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so it would be codependent is what you're saying.
Here's my problem with the golden rule. The golden rule says, and we'll state it clearly, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the idea. The problem with the golden rule is it presupposes, it suggests that everybody wants the same thing. The golden rule makes miserable both the sadist and the masochist. And the golden rule applied in the bedroom with husbands and wives across the nation or world, I would argue, is really making people miserable. Women and men get into bed together and they do to each other what they want done to them. They do. I'm not kidding. They
That's
do.
That's why
this.
Homosexuality is better.
I agree with that, but I don't think they're following the golden rule.
Well, they're not communicating with each other. The golden rule teaches us not to find out what other people want, and that's the problem with it. What we need a rule. There's a problem with this one, too. Let's see if anybody can spot it. Yes, we need a rule that says, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Now, that, to me, is the best of all possible.
If it's okay with you.
You know, right. Well, that makes you have to go do some work.
At least you have to ask them first.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we give a shit what a Muslim, for example, is interested in doing or what they want, how they want to be treated. And we have to find out what they like, what they're into, what they want to do.
If you're going to go to Japan, you better find out what the etiquette is before you go sit down to dinner.
That's exactly right.
Julia Sweeney said the same thing to me that Betsy just said. You know, she added that same tag, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But ask them first if it's okay.
Well, there you go. That's the idea for me behind the platinum rule.
You know, Matt Dillahunty from Atheist Experience.
Love him.
I recently watched a recent episode, and he actually said the same thing. He didn't call it the platinum rule, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, he actually said the exact
same
thing.
So Dillahunty is hacking me, that motherfucker?
Well, you know, I think
he
might be around.
Send me an email, man. We're going to talk, bitch. This is mine. I wrote this, I don't know, years ago.
Learn to share.
Okay.
Hello.
I think Vengeance is Mine comes to play.
We'll
good
see.
For him. I haven't heard many people really tear down the golden rule, and I think it should be dismantled. It's a bad idea. The Bible is filled with shit, and that's one of them.
Well, and it's also it's also not really true, because the Bible's just full of just horrific abuse of children. And, you know, it's almost like they're not even people. So this idea of it's when you say do unto others, they're not even part of that equation.
Yeah.
It's,
well, people aren't
they're
even
objects.
People aren't even people. It totally stands to reason that that's what we would be doing, because God treats human beings. He wipes us off the planet with one big, huge fell swoop of 40 days of raining because he's not happy with how we are.
Or he tortures Job just because of a bar bet with Satan.
Yeah.
And the justification is always, well, he made us. He can do whatever he likes.
Yeah.
Well, so, my father said
that.
To
parents,
he's a loving God.
Don't go into this world. I'll take you out.
Because but he loves you, baby. He loves you. Oh,
yeah. And it's the same concept with parents and their children back in the Bible
Still. I mean, that's the thing is we're still living with these same social
including
scripts.
Oh, that's not me.
Yeah. Stevie Ray Fromstein is vibrating.
Excuse me. I have to take a moment. You know what?
The social scientists call it reciprocal altruism, and that exists in human beings, and it has existed long before religion, and religion just has co-opted that or just claimed it as their rule, even though it exists naturally among human beings. It's to our advantage to behave that way.
The religious always try to corner morality as if they invented it, and in fact, the Christians didn't invent it, the Muslims didn't invent it, humanity invented ethics long before any of the religions we're discussing right now.
I think it was on this podcast that I heard that religion was there to keep people from killing the rich.
Killing the rich.
Did I hear that on
here? You may have. We've had a lot of guests.
Well, right. If you're to sacrifice now for a greater something in the next life, it's okay then to be poor. right? Being poor then is portrayed as a positive, a virtue. And so if you're rich, you want all these poor people to think they're virtuous to continue being poor.
Wow. How right. fucked up. I got an email today
and
from
to not kill the rich.
Right.
I got an email today from a friend.
And do not try to be rich because you won't make it into heaven.
Well, I mean, you know, the Buddhists fall prey to that kind of thing. You know, don't want and you'll be happy. And I think that's utter bullshit. I think there's a lot of all the philosophies out there. Buddhism is maybe, let me word it
well,
right.
There's no God in that one, is there?
Sure there is. They're lying when they say there isn't. What's
well,
your opinion?
Well, karma. They believe in karma. And it takes some supernatural entity to keep track of accounts of who has good or good and bad karma. So right. even though they may not believe in a God, they have to believe in a supernatural
But they do have a God. They say God in their writings, when they speak publicly, they actually use the word.
Well, there are different factions of Buddhism. True, like the pure Buddhists who follow what the Buddha said. The Buddha said
but
there
like,
was
what
no
about
God.
Tina Turner?
She's probably got some new age version.
Well, right? the L.A. Buddhism isn't even close to real Buddhism of any sort, honestly. I have many friends who are they just want to be peaceful and happy. Good for them.
You know? I interviewed a lot of Buddhists to try to find an interesting one for my documentary, and it was not easy. They were the least interesting people.
Did you try the Dalai Lama?
Well, I couldn't get to him.
He's got a good sense of humor.
But generally, because they're all being just like the Buddha. They want to be. They're all exactly the same. They dress the same. They all have the same haircut. And
the
they all
Buddha
think,
was fat, and they usually aren't. So I don't know what's up. You know,
they're all a little
he's
roundish,
smiling, and got the big belly.
Right.
It's just that there's a lack of individuality.
Brought presents every year.
There is a lack of individuality.
There is a lack of sense of humor. I find among all religions, really, and yoga.
Except the Jews, maybe.
And
in fact, I found out, and I had to give them credit because they have the Torah, right? Yeah. And they have the Talmud.
Right.
And the Talmud encourages questioning. It's all about asking questions. And I'm going to give you credit for that one.
Right.
But the more Orthodox you get, the more it's just like, it's like all the other ones. I mean, women, you know, are, it's a cult. At that point.
Women are unclean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Well, how did you know about that?
For 7 days.
Because he has a fucking nose.
Well, that's why in the Midrash they got rid of the wife before Eve. You know, Adam had a wife before Eve named Lilith.
What?
And she was into equality, so that they had to get rid of her.
Adam and Eve were not the first human beings on the planet,
no,
either.
No, she was the trophy wife.
Right.
There was somebody before Eve?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there was a whole the world was populated before Eve. Read the Bible. Genesis says God created mankind. And then he creates these two morons he's going to leave out there in a fucking garden. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
Today we'd like to give a shout out to the Generation Atheist Meetup Group in Los Angeles, California. This is one of the best places in LA for free thinkers in their 20s and 30s to socialize. Well, sometimes atheists a little older come. And a very special thank you to the Foo Fighters for sarcastically serenading the members of the Westboro Baptist Church. Westboro Baptist Church, destroying religion one protest at a time.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Roger Nygaard, Stevie
Howdy.
Ray Fromstein, and Betsy Salkind.
Yay.
Thanks. I totally interrupted you, Betsy. The Foo Fighters. Fill us in on that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The Westboro Baptist Church went to protest the Foo Fighters concert. So there's a great video, and I'll post it. They got dressed up in some hillbilly gear and fake mustaches, cowboy hats, jeans, the whole nine. Exactly.
Who did? The Baptist?
The Foo Fighters.
No, the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters.
They got on the back of a truck and played their instruments, drove up in front of where the Westboro Baptist Church was protesting and sang them a special song.
Was someone playing the jug?
No, but they all really did a great job, and they all looked really funny. And at the very, very end, what's the lady's name who was the head Westboro Baptist bitch?
I don't know. Cunty McGillicuddy.
She was like, I really like that song.
Right.
That's like the last bit of the video.
That's it?
Yeah.
They weren't even bothered?
Think so, but
you can't
really
bug
funny.
Those assholes. Do you guys know who the Westboro Baptist Church is?
Sure.
Oh, no? You don't know?
I'm a member.
Betsy. I'm a member.
Honorary.
I don't go to many meetings. But
I say they're all members.
Not in good standing.
See what I did there? Not in good standing. God hates fags.
God hates figs.
What? No, God's very pro-fig, I think.
But didn't he burn that tree?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Didn't God make man in his own image? So therefore, what did that make him, right?
A prick.
I can't remember. Do I have a joke on that?
Yeah,
that
are you setting him up?
I'm trying to set him up here.
A joke never, for Stevie Ray.
I never get my own setup.
If God didn't like homosexuals, why would he make them, right? He'd make, yeah. Like the first ones you make, you go, ooh, that's not right. And it's like a bad batch of cookies.
He doesn't make homosexuals, though. Now remember, homosexuals just love eating ass. That's...
Now, here's a point I thought about. We're just careening all over the place. I love this. We need, as atheists and as logical thinkers, we need to stop making the argument that that homosexuality is natural. That's not a good argument against religious oppression of homosexuals. Freedom is freedom is freedom.
Right, even if it was a choice.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
And I don't think it is only natural, because bisexuality, is, in my opinion, is a choice.
Well, you know what?
For some people.
Myopia is natural.
What?
Myopia is natural, and we wear glasses for that.
How dare you challenge God's
plan. I wasn't sure about myopia.
I think people are born on a sexual spectrum, and some people are way out on the end, and some people are toward the middle, and the ones in the middle can kind of go either way, and maybe they'll be bisexual. You
and
know?
Now there's an asexual group, too. Seriously, they have
their
own.
Yeah, but they don't
movement.
Have many kids.
Right. Paula Poundstone claims to be asexual.
That's the claim.
Yeah, and a lot of fat people I know.
Oh.
They just can't reach it.
you have to lift the penis.
I think asexuality probably is the hormonal thing. I bet it's got to be.
It's all hormonal.
Well, you're filtering it through your libido.
Don't look at me like that.
I am. I'm looking at you just like that.
I have a libido. It's somewhere.
Asexuality is there's a lot of reasons that people choose asexuality.
You know, Ed Bluestone, he used to have a joke, a great joke, that he said he was a quadrisexual. He'd do anything with anybody for a quarter.
I used to call myself a trisexual. I'd try anything three times.
Right. Three times?
Yeah. I'm bisexual. I've had sex twice.
There you go.
Nice.
What have you tried twice now? What are you still waiting to fill out your card with? Hey, maybe we can
have I tried twice?
What do you need
left? Yeah, what are you looking to fill? Roger kicks in.
That you don't like, but you're willing to do one more time.
I really, really, really have to think about that. There's things I've done one time.
How many times have you done the anal thing?
I don't know.
Hundreds.
You don't even know.
She's thinking. She's
not hundreds.
No, it's less. It's like -4.
No. You don't count the ones where you fall out of bed and cry?
No.
Okay. All right.
Actually, you fall out of bed onto a hairbrush.
Well, how would that happen to me?
It's not anal sex.
Someone else's brush.
No. That's just one of those emergency room visits with an embarrassing X-ray that goes up on the internet.
For you, it would just be, oh, there it is.
Finally, the show comes back to sexual Heather.
No, at least it's not fisting this time.
It will be.
Talk about it later.
I want to talk a little about your movie. There were some beats in your movie that just killed me.
Nature of Existence.
Nicely
at
done.
thenatureofexistence.com.
Nice.
On Netflix and wherever you want to get it.
You can get it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see the preview of the trailer on YouTube pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all over YouTube. It's Steve Fromstein is in several videos.
He's in the film. Yep.
He has a debate with a hardcore confrontational evangelist named Brother Jed,
which is hilarious.
I saw a little bit of the guy preaching on the street, right? Was
yes,
that the guy?
Yeah. That's him.
And he wasn't working as tight as it was cut, was he? Because that was so good.
Right.
It was so good. And because it's not Stevie Ray's style to jump on top of people like that.
Right. That was Roger's editing.
He's such
again.
A good editor. Nicely done.
Thanks.
Turning Stevie Ray Fromstein into a superhero. Yeah, you just kept challenging the guy and then stumped the shit out of him.
Well,
it was
the beauty
really beautiful.
Of Steve's style was that even in the cut down version, but even the long, whatever version, is that all Steve did was ask him questions.
Right.
That is the best approach, and that's what I do on my page. And people are like, I don't understand how you're able to get all these people to talk to you. I said, I don't talk to them. I just ask questions.
Yeah,
and they have to answer it themselves. And they all stumped and pissed off.
Yeah, I have a question for Steve.
And he wasn't pushing his ideas. He was literally just, through the questions, challenging the guy to defend his bullshit.
About evolution, right?
Do you remember any of the questions? I wish I had a better memory.
I think I asked him where the different races come from. And he said, well, over the years, then people would adapt to the different environments. In other words, evolution.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you start out with just Adam and Eve, and over several thousand years of them interbreeding, how do you get black people and Chinese people and Indian people?
Right.
Well, according to the Mormons, black people were people who were turned black because they didn't believe They didn't choose a god to believe in.
Right.
They were the atheists, pretty much. So atheist is the new black.
And what was their excuse for changing that rule? Did they have a – when they changed it, they said, no, no, it's okay. You can be black.
And there some are some glowing black Mormons stones. Who probably don't even
they
know
probably
that
started
they
no recruiting.
Well, I know it's how not they, that long ago.
Some glowing stones in a hat told them. That's a fucking excuse.
I can tell you how they started drinking. Well, I don't know why they – they used to not be able to drink Coke or coffee or anything with caffeine. And then just coincidentally about the same time – that the Mormons bought a controlling interest in Coca-Cola, a revelation came that said it was okay to drink Coke.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it may have been a similar thing, like maybe they had run out of white people.
Only Coke and not coffee? Coke. I mean...
Yeah, only Coke.
That's just retarded.
Wait till they corner the coffee market. Maybe they'll corner the cocaine market.
But Jack Mormons are really fun to hang out
with. Wait till they corner the anal
market. What'd you say?
Such a thing?
Jack
yes.
Mormons?
Jack Mormons are the Mormons who do the things they're not supposed to do.
Oh. Really?
That's what they
are. They all black?
They sound fun.
It's like a new Jack Mormon.
They're
new
called
Jack
Mormons, and the other Mormons are supposed to like report them to the powers that be. And
are they the underwear folks?
They're the ones at the rave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Mormons have the underwear.
So I'm a Jack
right?
Jew.
Yes, lucky underwear, which will protect you from bullets.
Is it? What do you know about the underwear?
Well, which guy? Joseph Smith? Somebody was wearing the underwear, and somebody tried to assassinate him, and he survived, and so he blamed or credited his underwear.
Really?
Lucky underwear. So yeah, now everybody wears
shit in
lucky
it, by
underwear.
The way. He shit his pants.
Oh, so, this is pre-Kevlar, I'm
it's
assuming.
It's magic.
It's just cotton long johns.
Cotton long johns. Funky, stupid, retarded
but
motherfuckers.
Muskets are a really bad shot.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you could be shot by a musket today and be naked and probably survive it.
Yeah.
If the distance is enough.
Yeah, well, Dick Cheney did that to one of his friends.
No, yeah, he didn't miss, though.
That was an amazing
he wasn't
episode
underwear.
In American
that was
history.
A hit.
When the man who got shot said he was sorry for causing so much trouble.
Sorry
for
my
Dick
face
Cheney.
Got in front of your gun.
What an asshole. Okay. Everyone in that equation is an asshole.
Can I tell the joke that Showtime edited out?
Yes, please.
I know there's something very wrong with our healthcare system because Dick Cheney's had 6 heart attacks and he's not dead yet.
Oh. Really? Showtime was a goddamn joke.
Just the punchline. They left the setup, and
unbelievable,
which is great. But clearly, people are still afraid of Cheney.
I love that God gets beeped sometimes. You
I
ever
think
notice
I could
this?
Take him actually.
Sometimes when you say "goddamn" on television,
I've
they'll beep the
so
God
much
and leave
more
the
trouble
damn.
For religious jokes than any other kind of jokes, and I do all kinds of provocative stuff. And it's still the religious stuff that I find people are most uncomfortable with. And I'm wondering if you have that same experience,
Stevie.
Actually, I don't really get any very much negative feedback from my act, even though I'm sure there's some people sitting there that aren't that happy about
it's
it.
It's your approach, the way you approach it.
It is almost odd that so many people are laughing when they're supposed to. I think there's way more non-believers than they'll admit.
Yeah.
You know, I think
they're secretly rooting you on.
They're closet atheists.
We should make it chic. Like, we should really, really make it a popular thing to be cool and atheist, and then people will be able to come out. And be all right.
But I sometimes get comments from religious people that say, I'm a Christian, but I thought you were really funny. So I like that.
Yeah.
And I don't really hold back at all. I don't try to be diplomatic. It's just my, I guess,
well,
my
you're
style.
Not caustic by any stretch. I mean, your style is not. When I do that stuff, I piss people off. One of my opening lines is, how many religious people are there? And then there's an applause. And then I go, no, I'm sorry. I misspoke. I don't give a fuck what you believe. I meant, can you believe how many religious people are there?
There's like a moment of.
That's an opening line. Yeah, yeah.
That's yeah. Caustic, yeah.
Yeah, I really just get right in their fucking faces.
You know, when I came out with this book, it's actually the people who, like, people with serious religious education are the ones who like it the most. Because they know that the stories are real. And most of them have had these like questions about, yeah, that kind of always bugged me. And there have been 2 people who've read it and just thought it was not at all funny, that it was just really fucked up and disturbing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they both were people who had no religious education. So to them, these were just horror stories.
Right.
But to anyone who learned this as kids, it's kind of funny.
Right. The quickest way to turn someone from religious to atheist is to tell them what's in the Bible.
Get them to read the fucking Bible.
Educate them.
That's what turned me atheist. It was Leviticus and a conversation with my – I'm such a filmmaker. Hold for plane. I don't know if you can hear that over the mics. The Leviticus and the owner, how to treat slaves, the killing of a dove.
You can beat your slave as long as he can get up and walk within 2 days.
What the fuck are you talking
about?
And
it's okay.
Can you believe that? And then I went to Brother
Earl.
Well,
that's like the rule of thumb.
You know, this stuff, by the way, makes sense. It was no, seriously.
The setup was, is funny.
No, no, I'm serious. Okay. It was a good moral system at the time. The trouble is, if you attribute it to God and then write it in stone and think these are actually rules to live by, at the time when you had slaves, it was actually an elevation of the moral system at the time. Well, don't beat them.
God
or
says,
if you beat them, yeah. don't kill them.
So by our standards,
there's no way to measure that. So they say, well, if they don't die within a couple of days,
you're okay.
Then at least you didn't beat them to death. You know, like there was no way to measure these things. They didn't have an MRI and all that. So I'm just saying a lot of
so
these
progress
things,
is glacial, and
yeah,
that's one
it,
of those
it froze
steps.
In time. If you freeze these things in time, then they're harmful.
Yeah.
But at the time, they were probably an attempt to, you know, elevate the moral status.
But what I love
people.
About it is it just illustrates just how, if he exists, horrific God really is.
Well,
of course
people
he
these days should be able to see that, and I don't get it. I can't believe
that's
that people
saying,
these days
but,
just
but if
can't
you attribute it to
it,
God,
though.
That's the difference between attributing it to man.
Yeah, yeah, but still, the God was there watching us. So, you know, if he's right. all there, loving, all-knowing, he already knew everything was going to happen, he should step in. If not, he's a child in the sky.
Well, it is what drives me nuts. I mean, when you talk to a believer and you bring these points up, they make the argument you just did, and they ignore the fact that this is their God that condoned this fucking thing.
And
right.
Still
I mean,
does.
If they make that
and
argument, does. That doesn't make any sense. If right. you say, well, it was just for the people at the time,
right.
but
then it's not something to live by.
Right.
I'm just saying if it was written at the time. It was obviously written by men.
Yeah.
And if you just look at it that
yeah,
way,
gender specific.
Some of these things are not as bad as they sound now.
Yeah.
Right, like the kosher thing, I think, was an effort not to get food poisoning.
Right, they didn't have refrigerators, so they got to deal with it.
Right.
No. Or if you,
but now it's, you know...
The keeping of the virgins, you know, they needed that because they, like in your
why
story...
Did they need
they, like in your story, you know, when they go around killing all the men and everyone else,
oh, yeah,
they
Betsy's
need to like, get
some
need
some
the breeders.
Virgins.
Keep the breeders.
Well, yeah. they... let's see, what's the one... The priest and the concubine
right,
yeah.
is really like that to me is just a Bible classic.
Yeah.
It starts with a gang rape and it ends with genocide. And it's really, yeah. it's just.
Stop it, Emery.
Do it for us.
They couldn't make that into a PG movie.
I mean, if somebody just, you know, read that and then try to tell me that there's nothing wrong there. That, you know.
Well, the Bible was less about God. It was more about it was a code for living. And there are rules for living.
Exactly.
And that's what religions are. Religious books are a code for living. But people then elevate this God concept beyond the code for living. And there's even a problem with the concept God. When someone says to you, do you believe in God? You have to say, well, which God are you talking about?
Yeah.
People assume you're talking about the same thing, right? But they're not.
Right.
But well, the code for living is the thing I have the problem with.
Me too. Yeah,
that is not a code that I can live by. And I find it troubling that we do sort of have this kind of default that you're supposed to respect people's religion. And I am troubled. I feel guilty to respect something that's actually hateful.
Well, it's the only thing that we, by default, are supposed to just accept, by default. And we're supposed to not hurt someone's feelings by saying what you believe is a pile of jack shit.
Or, well, in my case, I wouldn't say it was a pile of jack shit. I would say it's really deeply offensive.
And harmful.
And harmful,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
If someone is an ardent believer, right? But most people are not. They go to church because that's where their friends hang out.
Uh-huh.
Most people, you know.
Well, and they
well
want,
the Jews make
they want
this argument,
the
social
the
thing.
And
the,
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people there that have to listen to them complain. They'll bring them soup when they're sick and, they, you know, have choir practice.
Yeah. You don't need to have a pile of bullshit beliefs to have a social life, to have people you trust and enjoy. And that's the other thing. I mean, atheists... we have a community of that sort as well. We don't restrict it to. That's the other thing.
It's
There's
called
no
bars, right?
Well, no, it's it's called just being human to one another.
Well, it proves the rule, right? If you call the atheist the exception, well, atheists who are behaving in a moral way, that proves that human beings don't need a God to behave. And if you look at all of human history, religion, if supposedly was created to stop sin, right?
Right.
Well, has sin been reduced by 1% ever?
Yeah.
No. So therefore, the product doesn't work.
Right.
Well, a lot of people on my page will say, ask me the question, where as an atheist do you get your morals from and how do you, you know, how do you stay a good person? And I ask them, I say, if you learned today that there was no God, would that make you want to automatically go out, run around, rape and kill and pillage? I mean, no. I mean, you
you're still going to have to pay a consequence.
But you don't do it.
Yeah, you're still going to have to pay a consequence. You're still going to have to go to jail. You still might get killed.
Reciprocal altruism. You want to be good because it's going to benefit you to be good.
It's going to benefit your whole community.
Society
to be
will ostracize you if you don't behave in a way that benefits yourself with respect to society.
But also, don't you have sort of a? I mean, I have a sense. I have a conscience. Like, I would actually feel bad if I did.
Because you're a social creature.
Yes.
If you were a loner,
I think we're like ants. We wouldn't need a conscience.
Yeah, we like to sniff each other as we walk past.
I mean, the other thing, too, is...
Except when you're dirty and unclean in seven days.
I know people
you're
like
hung
that,
up
though.
On the unclean, aren't you?
That's what I'm told. That's what I'm told.
I like a little stink.
You don't go down on a girl when she's in the... We'll be right back after this.
Who does?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode brought to you in part by author Frank Allbritton. You can download Frank's new book, Ambitious Man Microwave Dinner, onto your Kindle from Amazon.com and Lulu.com. Also available, his Kindle. His first book, The Cricket Chirped Doom. Again, Amazon.com, Lulu.com, Frank Allbritton. Check it out. It's really, really great stuff. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Roger Niggard.
That's actually the correct pronunciation
Niggard.
In Norway.
It is?
Niggard.
You know, Niggard, please.
Niggard, please. Stevie Ray Fromstein is here and Betsy Salkind. Again, thanks for being here, you guys.
You're welcome. The Holy Atheist.
The Holy Atheist. Talk about this.
The Holy Atheist. I'm on Twitter and I have a podcast, The Holy Atheist. But actually, I wanted to talk about...
Do you have guests on?
I do.
I would love to be on your show.
I would love that. I would love that.
If you look at his
Twitter
feed... So
far, I've only made four of them. I'm a little bit lazy, but...
you need to come here.
Marijuana addict.
But they're
not in recovery.
They're concentrated, though. It's good stuff. If you look at Steve's Twitter feed, there are just oodles of quotables on his Twitter feed. It's hilarious.
I was born to tweet.
Can you give us a sample? Give us a sample.
Oh, I can't think of one.
If our legal system is inspired by the Bible, why don't we put children in prison for the sins of their fathers?
That's one of mine.
Oh, nice. Is that yours?
I think we do.
Nice.
If heaven...
We do? Wait.
What?
We do? We put children in prison for the sins of fathers? Or the transgressions of fathers?
Yeah, to some extent.
I can't think of an example.
Well, we do punish them, sort of, by putting their fathers in prison. Tell that stuff.
I know that people have to pay off debts sometimes for their family. That seems fucked up. But we didn't have to pay off my grandfather's debts. He was gone.
The best way to believe in the Bible is to not read it.
Yeah, that's so true.
Is that one of your Twitter?
Yeah. Another tweet.
Okay. One of my tweets.
It popped up. Good.
What if heaven is just another testing ground for the real life, which starts after heaven?
Say that again.
Yeah.
What if heaven is just another testing ground for the real life, which starts after heaven?
That's another Stevie Ray from tweet.
That's where the real Americans go.
You know, when I...
Republicans.
Well, the part of the topic today was sort of about children and abuse.
We didn't even get to it. I want to talk a little
bit
about
it. I tried to go there.
That, I would like to bring up circumcision.
Okay, let's go.
Which is child abuse.
Are you circumcised,
opinion.
Stevie Frey?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
I'm Jewish.
I can show you without any words.
That's getting personal. You know, of course, yeah, I'm circumcised, and I'm not happy about it. I mean, But when I tweet about circumcision, I get a lot of heckling from the most people that are circumcised are pro-circumcision.
I'm circumcised. I'm completely anti-circumcision. Roger. Oh, look at that. Roger is apparently circumcised.
Yep,
I did not realize that.
I warned you.
Look at that. You're a little close to Betsy. You all right, Betsy?
Watch out for that arm.
No.
It's just like spit. It's just dick spit.
It's a baby holding on to an apple.
But the idea that a part of the penis could be removed and not have any effect, negative effect.
I'm a data guy. I'm a big fan of the facts, okay? Here's what bothers me the most about this discussion. People, men, who for medical purposes have had to get circumcised, apparently report that it's not that big of a difference.
Well,
I don't know if that's anecdotal or not.
I don't know how many.
And there is
also but what are you quoting?
I'm quoting a. I wish
probably
I could,
a pro-circumcision study.
It wasn't.
But you know what? It always is. But it's always in disguise.
But there's whether it's disguised or not. It would seem that there's also evidence that the cervical cancer rates, HPV rates, are lower for women.
The thing is, these are all sort of reasons to justify removing part of the sex organ.
I'm still against
right, but I'm just saying all
mutilation.
Of these benefits.
Yeah.
Are alleged benefits are all side benefits.
You're right. It should be up to the man to decide whether he wants.
They're not beneficial to the penis.
In other words, right.
Exactly. Like they're, you know,
and they makes never, it really a shocking.
They never talk about the
penis's
the,
feelings.
It's like a cost-benefit analysis where when you're reading it, you see all the benefits, and then when you see the cost part, it's just all the pages are missing.
Right.
What is the negative side of circumcision? They don't talk about it because they don't. They don't. They don't. They want. They're pro-circumcision. Anytime you see a study about we're going to go to Africa and it's going to reduce AIDS in Africa.
Well, that, to me, that's the biggest pile of bullshit there is.
Yeah.
I'm not in Africa. I have a shower.
But even
I clean
so,
my cock think, every day.
Think about this. There's no more circumcised men than anywhere else but America. And we had an AIDS crisis here. And most of those guys were probably circumcised. I'm circumcised. Does that make me safe from catching venereal disease?
Whenever
I have
out.
Sex with an AIDS-ridden prostitute,
yeah.
And she says, put on a condom, I say, are you crazy? I'm circumcised. I don't have to wear a condom. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I forgot.
Oh,
don't be ridiculous.
Me.
Riddled.
If we're not...
AIDS riddled.
I lost a girlfriend to circumcision.
If we're not safe...
Yeah.
Because we're circumcised from Connecticut. Why would the Africans
it's
be safe?
It's not for you. It's for the women.
How long did humans do okay without circumcision? Like several hundred thousand years?
If God made us in his image, why do we need to have a portion of our body chopped off at birth? Joseph Swamp
says. Because God is white. The
God has some body image problems.
What is the like? If you believe in God, or even
he's
if you believe in Darwin, what do you believe the foreskins for? It's the only body part that is extra.
It's what for about very expensive
appendix.
Cosmetics.
Don't forget the appendix.
What about that Jewish thing that they do where they circumcise the baby and then they suck on the tip?
Have you heard about this Orthodox nuttiness in New York?
I think that's called child sexual abuse.
That's exactly
herpes
was being transmitted this
and
way.
Sucking the blood or something like that.
It's one of the rituals that...
And giving herpes.
It's illegal.
Let's be very clear. One of the rituals in one of the more extreme sects of Judaism is it's actually performed, like you just said... the cut is made, and then there's some a rabbi puts his mouth on the fucking thing. There was a case or some cases where there was a rabbi with herpes who was passing it to children.
Yeah, a number of cases.
In New York, a number of cases.
Yeah. But you know,
I want to get to a point, though. We were talking about gays and how it's wrong to argue.
I'm sorry,
what?
I just got because the rabbis.
No,
the gays.
That's not where I'm going.
Okay.
We were talking about gays, and we shouldn't argue. We shouldn't argue that it's natural, and that's the same thing. We shouldn't argue that there are that we don't necessarily lose sensation or any of those arguments. What we should argue is it's fucking archaic, offensive, and wrong to chop off any part of an infant's cock, vagina, any part of an infant who doesn't have a say in this process. That's what I think is the fact.
Yeah, it's a human rights violation to remove a body part without consent.
I think religion is a human rights violation, by the way. I think religion is the most effective, profound, and horrific human rights violation in human history. That's my opinion.
And they have nice picnics, so.
And bake sales.
Lots of good
some
food.
Pretty buildings. Nice glass.
Yeah. I wanted to say, Shermer said something I had never thought of on your film.
In the movie? The Nature of Existence?
Yes.
.com.
Colonize the entire cosmos. We're the only species who is equipped and able to colonize the entire cosmos.
That we know of.
That we know of.
For sure, yeah.
That's right.
The only way
we
can be certain.
Are we equipped to colonize the entire world? Absolutely.
Well,
if we are. Yeah, if we wanted to.
We've made it's a slow start, but I think we'll get there if we don't kill ourselves.
You think we're going to kill ourselves?
I think we're in danger of it. I mean, just I'm concerned about things like climate change and
it's a question of
you know
when.
The weather has become the news these days.
Yeah, I think we're on our way out.
I mean,
is there a species that's killed itself?
Let me put it this way.
It's always climate.
Intelligent life.
Yeah.
Is the worst thing that ever happened to the planet Earth. Like we always think that God made the universe for us.
Well, the Earth doesn't.
We've been around for a very short period of time. Intelligent life. Life has been around for a while. Intelligent life.
Right.
Not very long.
Flash in the pan so far.
Yeah, like if the universe was 13 years old, we've been around for like 3 minutes or something.
3 seconds.
Three seconds.
The tip of my fingernail.
Yeah, Stevie's a pessimist. He sees a universe that's half empty.
But we've almost devoured the entire planet in these few seconds that we've been around. And we have the ability to destroy it, where the ozone layer. This is the glory of intelligent life. It's the worst thing that ever happened to any planet.
Well, there's evidence to suggest that intelligence anti-correlates with species longevity. It's probably counterproductive to be intelligent because, you know, alligators have been around a long time.
And they could not,
right, and they can't invent a means of their own destruction. But intelligence can invent a means of its own destruction.
I think we're not very intelligent.
Pardon me?
I think we're not very intelligent.
Well, no, but I mean...
Really, Betsy?
Compared to what?
Really?
We're the most intelligent life that we know of.
But it takes intelligence to create an atom bomb and to create... things that will destroy the ozone layer. I mean, it may not be
and the vibrator.
Smart.
Let's not forget the vibrator.
But it may not be smart.
But also, the fact that, let's say we're creating, basically by eradicating all these different species, we're creating an open niche. You know, there was the Cambrian explosion.
Right.
That was everything. That's how we came to be. Because there was a huge opening because of, you know, the fifth great extinction. Yeah. There have been six great extinctions.
Six? Okay.
In the history of the planet.
Some weren't that great.
We're causing the latest one. But it opens up opportunity for other species. It's not good for us,
right.
But maybe
but
you know the
jellyfish
next,
are really.
There
excited.
Could be intelligent jellyfish. You know,
I think the dolphins might take over
now.
When we fuck it all up.
Yeah. I don't know. We're killing them.
They're good people.
Fast.
We see things. We see things from our perspective, right? And
yeah.
We like things the way they are because
right.
It's the most comfortable because that's what we evolved within. So we shouldn't want to. We don't want to change things, but we are changing things to our own personal disadvantage. But that may not be to the disadvantage of another species.
Right, right.
And that, by the way, and that's
I'm
where,
sad
like,
all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on.
Your but days are numbered, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, no shit. Stevie?
No, I was just going to say, when things are written in stone, like go forth and multiply, that was good advice at
when
the time.
When there were two people.
When we were trying to protect the species.
And there's high infant mortality.
Now it's counterproductive.
Yes.
We could use less people.
Right.
So
and there
so
will the, be at some point.
That's the trouble with morality written in stone.
Go forth or, and divide. I think that's what's happening now.
Go forth and
divide.
Divide, absolutely. Religion is never going to bond the world.
Go forth and
we're
be rational. You know, go forth and be rational. That's what people what we need to do.
We need to figure
in
out
fact,
how
just
to
stay where you are. Stop going forth.
People tend to
mind
stay
your own
where
business.
They are actually. Dung right. Beetleism is a common
proselytizing, that's the problem.
Is it the problem?
That's the number one problem, I think.
We need to figure out how to get parents to teach their children critical thinking. That's the key in
what's
my
that?
It would help if they did it themselves.
What, the parents?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
It's what happens in a small percentage of people and families. That's the problem. And it has to be encouraged. But some societies do better, you know, like the Scandinavian societies.
Scandinavians,
very
Swedish.
Critical thinkers.
Right, right. I think maybe the biggest atheist.
My parents
are
very critical.
Yeah, critical. That's not what we're talking about.
Critical thinkers.
We're talking about something completely
oh,
different.
I'm sorry.
You'll never be a success, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Last question of the show. I watched your film just last night. I got to see it. And a man on there, you might remember who it was, said, "Prayer has never failed me." And you pissed me off when you cut away and didn't hold that motherfucker to the fire. Did you have a further conversation with that asshole and find out whether or not he could support that bullshit claim?
Well, you have, but you have the other side of it too, you know. And Steve made a great counterpoint to that, you know, like
what
prayer.
Was it?
What did you say?
I can't.
How come when people say, you know, would you pray for me? You know, and you come back later and say, hey, what happened? I thought you said you were going to pray for me.
Yeah, nobody ever checks.
They don't check the results. But if something good happens,
I think people
it works,
just say, I'll pray
right?
for you, and then they don't go and pray.
Right.
They just say it. Then they don't go, oh, dear.
That's a really great point. I think that's absolutely true.
What about it? What about prayer without a God involved? Is
that's meditation.
That's called wishing.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for being here today. Betsy, thank you so much for coming. Roger Nigger.
My books are on Amazon and BetsySalkind.com.
There you go.
The Nature of Existence.
Yeah.
.com. Free the clip from my book.
.com, The Holy Atheist.
Awesome.
Trying to be different.
I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. Tune in next week where our guests will once again be...
hilarious.
And we will be talking about...
topic not yet established.
That's it for episode 32. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor... sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Facebook publicist, Cameron Winter.
You've been listening to...
One Breath.
Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Ramen.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Hi, this is Dana Gould, and you're listening to New Dissident Radio, where we've finally gotten the video out of audio video.